this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Karen Harding, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I am very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. We were talking just now about my kitten, the latest rescue kitten that we've got in the house, and I've managed to get occupy it outside the studio. So it's just you and me in the studio for Music Stories for the time being.
I'm waiting for one of them to turn up, though.
Yeah, they'll be howling.
Make the presence known.
Yeah, they'll be howling outside the door. you've got, correct me if any of this is wrong, because I get information from all over, a new album called Take Me Somewhere.
Yeah.
And a single from it called Wrong Places.
Yes.
And another one called Wild, Wild Water. Is that all right?
Yes, that is all correct.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to have a little listen to those in a tick. You are, it says here also, a multi-platinum singer.
Yes. It always sounds funny when people say it, because I just don't think it, don't realise it, forget about it, you know.
That's amazing. And it also says here that you have over 750 million downloads.
Yeah. I mean, I think it might be streams as well included as in mixed all together. But yeah, even that number is pretty crazy. I don't really look at the numbers too much because it is it's a lot. Mm. And it like, can, for me, it kind of works the other way where I feel like I put more pressure on myself. But yeah, I just it's just crazy. Those numbers, I feel like they're just picked out of thin air.
Do you feel like I feel that, you know, I've been a radio broadcaster for a very, very long time, and to me, it doesn't matter, it doesn't bother me at all if one person or a million people are listening to my show. Do you feel the same?
I'm very much the same. I always say that to my managers. I'm like, you know, as long as someone's listening to it, then it's fine, because that's more than none. So it's like putting music out when people say, oh, you put music out, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking, as long as someone's listening to it, it's fine. Like, because then it's worth it.
Yeah.
That's why I have to release the music. Otherwise, no one's going to hear it. It makes sense that way.
Exactly. And if nobody listens to it, there's not much point.
Yeah. But there's always somebody.
There is. Okay, let's have just a few seconds of Wrong Places, shall we? Here we go.
Been looking for love, but I've been looking in all the wrong places. Me and my broken heart, we've been dancing in all these dark spaces. Don't know what I'm doing wrong, what's up with my head? Knocking on my heart, but love isn't there. All these flashing lights, bodies in the crowd.
That's fabulous. I want to dance around the studio, but if you've ever seen me dance, then you'll understand why that I don't. That's amazing. What's the inspiration behind that song?
That one is about not being over somebody, trying to find, company in elsewhere, but it just being the wrong place, wrong time, because your heart doesn't really want to give anything out because you're not over somebody.
And most people who write songs are based on personal experience. I presume that's the same with you.
Well, this one actually was written by Grammy-nominated songwriter Camille. She's incredible. I got played this song a couple of times and I was like, actually, like, I really feel this. I really like it. I love the melody. I love the beat. And it's one of the few that I didn't actually write. Well, I wrote like a couple of sections, changed a few words. But yeah, Camille was the main writer on it. And
so it was something that happened to her rather than to you.
Yes. Yes, it wasn't. It didn't happen to me.
Well, maybe that's a good thing then. Tell me how you got started in music, because I'm looking at you on Zoom and you look about 18.
Thank you very much.
That's okay. Don't worry, I say that to everybody.
No.
Tell me how you got involved with music. How did you start, you know, how did it all start? Because that song is very sophisticated. The production and everything else in your voice is very mature. How did you get started?
I've been singing since I was about seven. My mum and dad bought us a little karaoke machine. It had four songs on it. Careless Whisper was one of them. My Heart Will Go On was the other one. So it was basically those two songs over and over again for about 3 years until my mum and dad bought us a new karaoke machine. My dad works away in the Merchant Navy. So he used to bring us back all these like video key CDs, with all the lyrics on. So all my friends used to come around and we used to have like little karaoke sessions, because I was the only one who had one with a microphone and loudspeakers. I was doing that pretty much every day after school, running back home just to sing. I was doing like a lot of school shows, talent shows in the area. I'm originally from County Durham in the northeast, so
I would never have guessed from your accent.
But I feel like everyone knew everybody, so it was like a small world up there. I started doing like function bands, restaurants, bars. I was just doing like covers with guitarists and pianists, and it was fun. Like, I really enjoyed it, but I always felt like there was something more, you know. I was uploading videos to YouTube and like just doing everything I could, including like TV shows as well, like Eurovision and the UK thing for Eurovision, and then the X Factor. But in that time before I did X Factor, I'd written my first single, which was Say Something, in like 2012. And then I did the X Factor. Nothing came of it. I didn't get very far. And then I had the song Say Something played in like a few mixes on radio and got a couple of labels messaging us like, is this your song? And I was just up north just doing the club PAs, doing my function band stuff. And then getting all these messages was a bit wild. I was just a bit like, hang on, like this is actually record labels in London messaging me about a song that I've written that has just been on my hard drive. So from that point on, like, things started moving very quickly. I moved to London. I was working. I was doing sessions like 100 times a week. Like, it was just crazy. And I was performing and gigging. And my first single went top 10 in the UK. I've pretty much been writing ever since then and performing and singing ever since then, just solely doing music. And it's been incredible.
It sounds like it's your passion, which is half the effort, isn't it, really? It's half the trick.
Yeah.
How do you write music? Do you write what comes into your head first, the lyrics or the music, or together? Or which way around is it?
Melody is always first.
Okay, so you're an Elton John rather than a Bernie Taupin.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I love melody. I always have. The lyrics are also just as important. It goes hand in hand. It just depends. I'll record random melodies in my phone, or I'll write down lyrics as well, that particularly out of like TV programs or books that I'm reading. It's handy to get inspiration from everywhere.
I was going to ask you what inspires you. So it's stuff happening around in your life, obviously.
Stories like personal to me, but also just random things that I hear. You know, it could be someone walking down the street and I hear them over talking, and I'll nose in and I'm writing in my phone someone else's dramas.
So I wonder if those people hear your song in the future and think, hang on, I can relate to that.
Yeah, that's, I can strange. Relate to that. It's very relatable.
that's really good. I love that. Most of your music is dance music, isn't it? Why? I love that because, you know, I'm a bit of a soul boy DJ, to be honest.
Right.
I spent my, even though I do this love songs radio show now, you know, when I started, it was doing mobile discos and events and clubs and stuff in London. But
All right. Okay.
So I'm a bit of a soul boy, really. Anything that will get people going on the dance floor or in a club somehow. So why have you sort of aired onto that genre of music?
It wasn't my intention to go into dance music. I just love singing, so I was kind of happy with any genre, really, at certain points. But say something lent itself more into that dance world, and a lot more like dance producers and DJs and everything got in touch with us and wanted to work with us. And you know, I was getting sent songs left, right, and center to re-vocal. So it just kind of happened that way. I mean, I still just love to sing ballads. I love listening to R&B and soul music. Like, I'm still very much inspired by that kind of those genres, but just put them in more into electronic music.
Okay, I understand. So now, your other new single, why have you got two out at the same time? Is that a bit greedy, or is it a coincidence?
Oh, well, you know, you put an album out, you've got to be a bit greedy, haven't you? You've got to share it with the world. But well,
yes, absolutely.
Wrong Places was the first to come off before the album came out, so it was kind of like a teaser is what's to come. And then since the album's been out, we've picked a song that we want to focus on, and that's Wild Wild Water. So yeah, and it's also like a more personal record to me. Okay. So that's why I picked it.
All right, let's have a listen.
You got your head in your hands, the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you can't focus. Oh, I feel you. You've been riding so high. It's a long way down, but you got this. And I notice that you keep falling out the lines. You've been here a thousand times with that beautiful mind. You'll find a way to hold on. Wherever life may take.
I'm talking to Karen Harding, and that's Wild Wild Water from her latest album, isn't it, Karen?
Yes.
I love that. The bass on that, it's just blown my brains out on my studio headphones. I can see you're wearing some really nice studio headphones as well. I think they're Beyer 770s.
Yeah.
And I'm an audio engineer, so I recognise it. And yeah. You've got a Shure SM7B microphone.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm a bit sad like that. But I can really hear that song in the clubs in Ibiza, as well as young men's small cars with big speakers, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. That was me when I was a kid, so like, it's all good.
It's awesome. Very, very good. I'm going to have listened to it anyway beforehand, but I'm going to play it again later, but we haven't got time at the moment. It strikes me, do you know Kathy Dennis?
Yes, I do. I've worked with her a few times.
Have you? Well, there you go. I was going to say, why don't you write with Kathy Dennis and tell her that it was my idea?
Yeah.
But you've already done it, of course. And actually, I don't think you need to, because you're quite capable of writing your own hits as well.
I'm very, very in, you know, when I actually went to this thing called The Other Songs, which is in London, and it's where songwriters get up and sing their songs that have been sung by other people. So when she got up, all of us were just in complete awe of her, because she's very inspiring, the song she's worked on. But when I got in the studio with her, like, I just loved her energy. She was just like a, like, take the BS out, let's just write a song, come on. Like, she's just, yeah, she's class. And I would love to work with her again.
Okay, brilliant. Well, still tell her that I suggested it, even if it's not
this.
She'll say, Tony, who? You're saying that she's written for so many people, and you're quite right, you know, Spice Girls and people like that who've had incredible big hits and massive success. But you yourself have got a list probably bigger than Kathy's. I mean, you've written for so many people, haven't you?
I've written for a lot of people, not quite Britney Spears like Kathy, but I find that it's a really nice way of taking the pressure off being an artist, because I love the music, I love writing, I love singing, and it all just ties in nicely. And then when I can sing a demo and someone else loves it just as much, I feel like I've won in that way. You know, I've heard people singing songs that I've written, and it feels just as good. Like, it's nice to not have to be performing it. Someone else can do it and do just as an even better job, you know.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, I get what you're saying. And of course, you're very popular, so people, you know, once the ball's rolling, I should imagine, you know, I'm thinking aloud now. Because I can't write a song for Toffee, of course. But you know, once you've written a few for a few people, then more and more people will want to come to you for help.
Yeah, definitely. I think it definitely works that way. But at the same time, like, I really like, so it's nice to work with like teams, the same people, because you know, you just get on with them, and that's what I feel like I've found myself doing more and more of the years as the years have gone on.
What advice would you give to young people, especially who are trying to get on in the music business, which basically is everybody in the music business?
We're all just trying to get a big song.
Yeah.
I would just say practice. Know that you're good. Like, just feel confident in what you're doing, because it's very much an opinions-led game. Everybody feels different every day of the week, and you never know what they're going to say to you. So just make sure that you stay strong in your belief of, like, your capability. And also, like, just take the rejection on the chin, because it's a good thing. When people don't like it, it just makes you work harder and makes you want to be better. So I find, like, don't be scared of that, because it's a good thing.
It is indeed. Good advice. Thank you, Karen. What's next for you? I mean, have you got, you know, most people I speak to have always got something else up their sleeve for next year. What's up your sleeve for next year?
I mean, I'm hoping that I've got a few more gigs next year. I've like done quite a few this summer, but it's always nice to be performing, and because I really want to perform the album out. I've been so focused on this album that I haven't even thought about what's coming next, to be honest with you. It's like, it's a bit like a bucket list moment. I'm just gonna just like dwell on it for a second and then jump in the studio and get some more work done, really. And this time I think I'll be coming at it with a different perspective. I've had 2 children in the past couple of years, and I think that will, like, the creativity will flow in a different way, which I'm really excited to do.
Wow, yes. I mean, having children or cats can change your life.
Yes. Yeah. Any animals. And then children, yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not much difference between the two. Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you so much for talking to me on Music Stories. You've been very interesting, and you're obviously very talented young lady. I'll follow you with great interest. It's really good to meet you, even though it's on Zoom.
Nice to meet you too.
Your album Take Me Somewhere is available now, and your tracks Wrong Places and Wild Wild Water are available now. We just played a couple clips from those earlier. Excuse me. And your website, if people want to find out more about you, is karenhardingofficial.com, which is a brilliant website as well. I can recommend that too. Thanks very much for talking to me, Karen.
Thanks very much for having us on. Thank you.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.